Hi, you're listening to Boggy Talk, Faith Conversations in the Mud, a resource of Church on Bayshore.
Well, hey, and thanks for joining us today on Boggy Talk. As you can tell, things are a little bit different today. We are Zooming. We're doing a series on the Southern Baptist Convention, and right now James is actually there. So, hey, James is Zooming in live from Texas, right?
From the great state of Texas, yes.
And here we are. Here we are, still in the panhandle, in the Lord's country. Although people in Texas don't say that that's God's country.
Well, I would disagree with them. I think where you guys are is where, you know, where you should be.
So
I'm thinking he's saying that he's glad we're not there.
That's where you should be.
Where you retort like, you know.
Just spiritualize that, please.
Yeah, whatever. Okay.
That's awesome.
I didn't sleep a lot last night.
Did you see the cowboy hats? How anybody wear? Did you wear them to the?
Yeah, there's a few cowboy hats. There's a few.
Okay. All right. Representing. Yeah. Great. Yeah,
right.
All right. Well, we're just going to dive right in. So you have a special little booklet there they give you. That has all of the meeting agenda. So what are you guys talking about?
Messenger guide. And look at this bad boy, the Book of Reports.
Oh. Wow. Listen.
Hey, and just so you know, I mean, anybody who wants to watch this online, it's available online. You can watch it live. The Messenger book is available for download. It's not a, you know, it's not like going to like the Mason Lodge where you can't ever know what happens behind the veil. It's all out there for everybody. So you can find that information on the SBC website.
That's right. You're right, Justin. Yeah. So right now is the pastor's conference. That's what's happening. We're recording this on Monday. This will drop probably Tuesday sometime. But we're recording. While we're talking, the pastor's conference is going on. That's what happens on Sunday night and Monday. It's a pastor's conference leading into the Southern Baptist Convention. However, there's a lot of different groups that kind of meet. I'm on the executive committee of the Southern Baptist Convention, so we always meet the Monday before just to discuss anything that needs to be settled before the annual meeting. The agenda is kind of typical of a Southern Baptist Convention where, you know, you have the different entity reports. Pastor Justin and I have always talked about this. One of the best parts is the IMB sending celebration where missionaries are sent or resent to the field. And that's just a really beautiful time. Were you part of that, Justin, when you went as
Do that for like the long-term, the career folks. So it's not the people who are going out for like 2-year, 3-year commitments, but the people who are signed up like to go career. Yep.
Yeah. And Pastor Justin and I have actually been to one for members of our church.
Church members. Yeah.
They do multiple throughout the year, but one of them is at the SBC. So that's a big deal. And there'll be a couple sermons and then the EC reports. And the most exciting part is the introduction of new motions.
Yeah.
Hey, that sounds great.
That's when there's like races to the microphone. People like position themselves in the room to be at the microphone and be ready to go. And people are ready.
When he says races, they're mostly white, but he means people racing to the microphones.
Racing. They are racing. That's right.
Running very quickly. Yeah. That's great. Okay. Yeah. So what has been the most surprising question that you've ever heard at the race to the mic?
Ooh, that's a great question. It's pretty outlandish. I will say last year someone made a motion that these things have the name on the front and the back because, like, you know, they flip.
And it happened. Look at that.
Wow.
You see people and you're like, I know this person. They're like, hey, James. I'm like, hey, brother.
What's up, dude?
Flip the wrong side. So that was a good one. Somebody remember the year the guy made the motion for like it to, the air conditioner to be turned on?
Yeah.
That was kind of
Mm-hmm.
It's
a little sarcasm in there.
Have you ever watched an SBC before?
No, I haven't. But after this,
a little bit this year, since you're,
I'm going to race to it and watch it this year now.
Yeah.
Yeah. It is pretty interesting. I know we're going to talk about what's going on, but funny story from when our whole staff went to the SBC 2 years ago, and it was in New Orleans. And a huge piece of this is like in the convention hall, wherever it is, there's lots of vendors there, you know, supporting ministries, the seminaries, you know, curriculum, right? There's all kinds of vendors like you would see at any conference, but a lot of them give away swag. And so people want to get t-shirts and stuff, which is great. And, so there was this one booth that was giving away frisbees, like for frisbee golf. And I thought, this is amazing. What an incredible giveaway. I couldn't believe that they were giving these away. And I went to the session and I saw Lucas and I saw Alec, who was their student minister at the time, who played disc golf. I was like, dude, you've got to go get one of these before they run out. And he did. And he came back and he's like, they're not giving those away. I tried to take one and they were like, what are you doing? So I accidentally stole one of the, dude, it was part of their display, but nobody was watching. I was like, this is awesome. So I took it back and the lady was like, oh, I took it back. And she was like, I'm so glad like the Holy Spirit convicted you to, I was like, hold up. Like you're implying that I sinfully took this. Like you guys left this wide open. I'm coming back. So I didn't mean to steal it anyway. So don't accidentally steal stuff.
Okay.
Yeah. I saw they have that booth here this year again. There's a frisbee.
They were so impressed that I was honest. They actually gave me like a small one that's like used for markers, like you know when you're playing disc golf. It's tomorrow. They actually gave one of those. I felt special.
I've only played one.
I don't remember what company it was, but so their branding wasn't great apparently. But
Yeah. I actually went this morning and got a lot of swag because typically I don't. And my wife was like, how come you never get
that? Seriously. Well, this afternoon, please go back. I will take some t-shirts.
So. Well, I only have a carry-on, so I'm running out of room.
Yeah. Oh, that's great. So what are some of the kind of standout items that are on your agenda?
Yeah. Well, I think start with just kind of the things that are going to come from the executive committee. One is, and they're mostly informative, but one is just kind of reminding everyone, informing everyone that Jeff Dalrymple, who worked for ECAP, was hired to head the SBC's sexual abuse division. And so really the aim there is for education, resources, for all of our churches, you know, to really do everything we can to put an end. Obviously, that will not happen this side of heaven, but to do everything we can to put an end to sexual abuse that takes place in churches. And so there are some people who are disappointed in the way that's being handled, but it does seem like probably maybe more could be done, but it is certainly something significant being done by Southern Baptist to try and do something to get rid of abuse and in our churches. So that's significant. Also coming from the EC, or did you guys have any comments on that? Or
no?
Yeah. Also, and that's a response to what's been going on for a few years. You know, also just reminding everyone the DOJ investigation regarding sex abuse in the SBC was concluded, and it found no systemic issues within Southern Baptist. Obviously that doesn't mean there haven't been instances within Southern Baptist churches, and that doesn't mean that we aren't heartbroken of every single time that there is an instance, but it just means there's not this kind of systemic cover-up that was alleged, at least according to the DOJ investigation. There are still ongoing lawsuits that are financially draining. We talked about that last week. So the budget proposed will have that $3 million, $3 million off the top allocation. I expect there to be a lot of discussion about that. Just so you know where I'm at, I don't like it. I don't think very many people like it, but I don't know of a better solution. Honestly, that's kind of, and we have these bills. We have to pay. I mean, we can't not pay the legal fees, you know. We can't not have an attorney defending these defamation lawsuits. I mean, mm-hmm. that are a result of the sexual abuse investigation. So I think we've talked about that a decent amount of Boggy Talk, but just reminding people that you know, Guidepost did an investigation, people's names were mentioned. Those people are suing the SBC, Guidepost, and sometimes others for defamation of character. And we are on the hook for the Guidepost legal fees. So,
gotcha. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So go ahead. Sorry.
No, well, you can lead into the next thing. So those were some of the meeting agenda things. Can you kind of speak to some of the like the bylaw changes that are happening?
Yeah, well, specifically the business and financial plan is being revised. And that's a big deal. That kind of came from this push for transparency. And Dr. Orge, who's new in the role, realized that you just got to completely redo this plan. It's kind of archaic in some ways. Along with that is several initiatives, and I won't bore people with the details of this, to lead to greater transparency and greater education for trustees on how to hold entities that they represent accountable. The problem is that's not going to happen overnight. And mm-hmm. so there are those who literally, for real, I'm not being funny, like they're not going to be happy until they know how much the president of the North American Mission Board makes. Well, they're never going to, that's never going to be public information. You know, it's salaries of a church. Our church is 21 people. Any member can come in and find out how 21 people on staff. Sorry, our church is bigger than that. But anyone who's a member can come and find out from our administrator. They can see on a screen what salaries are if they really want to see those. But we're never going to publish those because then those 21 employees all know how much each other make. You know, it's just not wise. That's not what businesses do. Well, we're just a 21 employee business. Mm-hmm. Name is much bigger. So they're never going to do that. No wise group is ever going to say, this is what we should do as NAM. So there are still going to be people who are just very disappointed and not willing to be quiet until they have what they want. But I will say I am sympathetic. I think that our entities need to figure out a way to disclose more information about finances. I fully agree with that.
Yeah. What do they think is the underlying beef with that? Why they do, like, what's the argument for disclosing it? Why they want it to be disclosed?
Justin, you're more on the outside than that. Maybe you can answer better.
I think there's one. I think there's always a general curiosity towards those things in general. Like there is in church, there is, and I think because of the cooperative nature of the Southern Baptist Convention, you have churches that are contributing. You know, everyone's contributing. And according to the bylaws of, you know, and how the convention is organized, it's organized in such a way that really there is effort made to make sure that large churches don't carry more weight than the smaller churches. And I just think there is a general sentiment that when you have the vast majority of Southern Baptist churches are 100 people or fewer, like I think it's like 70 to 80%, I don't know the exact number, are 100 people or fewer, but they're giving faithfully to the cooperative program, they're giving to special offerings which fund the entities, that if the leaders of these entities are making what in their perspective are these huge salaries, yet they're struggling to pay a pastor or staff members, but they're giving faithfully to the cooperative program. Meanwhile, there is a perception, and maybe sometimes it's a rightful perception, I don't know, that the leaders of these entities are making just way more than they should perspective-wise. I think that's kind of the undercurrent here.
Yeah, and, you know, that's just tough, you know, because it's like most of us did not go into ministry to make a lot of money. I mean, you know, that's not what you do. That's just not
wrong career choice.
Yeah. Just about anyone who's in ministry could make more doing something else, like based on their skill set, you know, and all that. But it ends up being the case that some make a considerable amount more because of the responsibilities they oversee. And, you know, that's just kind of a tough pill to swallow. But the reality is, like, from a trustee perspective, like, you want very capable people leading these organizations. Right. You know, so it is hard. And, you know, you brought up something that's important, is that a lot of people are like, well, the average church, you know, runs 75 to 100 people. But the truth is, 56% of churchmen of Baptists are actually in churches of over 2,000 or over 1,500. So it's like the majority of pastors are in smaller churches, but the majority of Baptists are in larger churches.
Right.
So, and maybe it's churches over 1,200. I don't know. Or maybe it's lower than that. But like, so it's like, it's just this tension, and that we all have an equal voice, you know, but things are just different in different churches and different settings. Right. Alpharetta versus, you know, Alpha, if you know where Alpha is in Florida, you know, like, it's just different. So,
yeah.
So I think Justin's right that there's just going to always kind of be this hesitancy. I do feel like the entities, at least some of them, haven't done a good enough job of answering questions directly. Maybe out of fear, maybe out of true caution. I mean, I'm not in their role. I just wish there was a way we could start to be a little more transparent. I do think that's what Dr. Orr is trying to lead us to with this new financial plan and education. But anybody can be a trustee. So, you know, that's the way to really get involved, is to become a trustee. We have trustee system set up, you know. Mm-hmm. I don't think that's going to change anytime soon.
Yeah, that makes sense. You also had mentioned earlier that there were just some of the other items. There were some reoccurring changes, things that they're talking through.
Yeah.
Can you expand on that a little more?
So what I've talked about so far is more so what's coming from the EC. The real, like, you know, newsworthy yeah. things are what comes from these new motions. And really this year, it's kind of the same things. And the bigger things, there will be a bunch of random things, but the bigger things are the law amendment, which that's the amendment to clarify in the bylaws that the role of pastor of any kind is for qualified men. And that was voted down. It was voted for, and it has 1 year, and then it was voted, did not voted down. It did not get enough support in year two, and it's going to come back. And I've heard it's going to come back with the exact same language this year. So what that's revealing is there is a concern that if we don't do that, you're going to start seeing female pastors within SBC churches, and you hear all kind of narrative. So I it's interesting. I'm not a centrist, or maybe I am, I don't know, but I see both sides. I think I talked about that last week. I see both sides of it, but it's just not going away. And I think what happened amongst, you know, a lot of the Methodists specifically, but others, I think it's just concerning a lot of people that if we don't deal with this, that eventually there will be some kind of drift, to use Church on Bay Shore language.
Yeah. I think that particular issue is representative of something we talked about this even last year when we talked about this specific issue with the SBC. It's that it's really a result of what is a strength of the SBC, and that it is a willing cooperation of churches that are very diverse in terms of how they practice church. I mean, there's a large spectrum of types of Southern Baptist churches. And so you have all of these churches coming together with the cooperative mission of missions, really, to the advancement of the gospel. But they all practice churches in different ways. And so where this specific amendment does get a little bit complicated is in how churches, some of them is the practice of the office of elder, but others it's literally semantics and what they call staff members. And so there's one side of this specific amendment that is driving the, we want to be sure that we're uber clear in this. They also have, you know, and there's others who are saying, hey, back down and don't tell us what to do at his church. Right. And that's really kind of oversimplification of it, but that's really the matter of it. And why this is so tested is because, or contested, I should say, is because there's just a lot of different ways that people practice this. Yeah. And people like to pick up a narrative and run with that.
Well, I think the Critics Committee this year did not vote out a church that had a female teaching pastor. I think New Spring, right? They ended up withdrawing, right? Isn't that what happened? Mm-hmm. And so because they didn't remove them, it kind of cemented in a lot of people's mind, okay, well, we're not going to get rid of churches that have female teaching pastors. So that may actually be what enables the momentum for this to happen. You know, we don't know the true ramifications of it.
I guess that was my question, what the feeling of was if it didn't pass last year, but it did pass this year, if more churches would then leave.
Yeah, it's got to be 2 years. It's got to happen over 2 years. So it's got to pass. So it did. So it got enough. Basically, for a bylaw change to happen, it has to have, I think, 2/3 of the vote 2 years in a row.
Wow.
And it had it the first year, and the second year, it did not have enough. So it did have the majority, but it did not have enough. So in Texas, at a convention in Texas, it will have enough.
Good point.
Actually, not necessarily. The Texas have two conventions, so that's four. Mm-hmm. Have two conventions, and one allows female pastors, not senior pastors, and the other doesn't. So, or one adopted the Baptist Faith and Message 2000, and the other didn't. That's what it is.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. But basically, what I said is kind of what it results in.
Okay. Anything else?
Yeah, I mean, there's going to be several things related to transparency. I'm actually a guy in our area is making says he's making a motion to make it a requirement that if you are employed by an SBC entity, you cannot serve on any other entity board within the SBC. I agree with that in theory. I think there have been those who've shot that down because they thought it was too broad. So like, I think we need to figure that one out. I do think that could make a big difference. I mean, I think the like challenge is like, so say Justin went and spoke at something for NAM about, you know, missions or IMB for missions, and they gave him an honorarium. Well, is Christy Wyatt no longer allowed to serve on the, you know, New Orleans Baptist board? Like, you know, what and how many years? Like, I think just all that is a lot to deal with. And there's just not a lot of enough people to work through these things. You would think there is, but there's only like, there's less than 20 employees in the executive committee.
Mm-hmm. So can you back up? You said that it was if you were married to somebody, if your spouse.
Yes.
Okay.
So like at our church, Chris could not serve on the personnel committee.
Right.
Obviously, but he could serve on another team, you know, in our church. He probably couldn't be a trustee, because you're on staff. We wouldn't let that, but I think that's probably also in our bylaws. Steve Renna, if he were here,
he would say, I know which one it is.
Yeah. So yeah, I don't fully know, but the problem is you start to form a network of people and money, you know, it gets kind of icky feeling, even if it's not icky.
Yeah.
That's my technical term. So I'm
right. I mean, it does open the door for nepotism, for favors, for, hey, I know you can just do this. And I mean, so I understand where you're coming from for sure in that.
Yeah, there's definitely alliances. I mean, I'm on the EC and we were like voting for officers and like, you know, there's people, we had runoffs and like, There's people that are partial to this guy, person. They just think alike. And there's nothing wrong with that. They do.
Yeah.
But when the like money interest gets involved, that gets, you know,
yeah,
interesting. So, and I think it all goes along with this like transparency and trust. And I think the greater problem though is that there's just really not enough willing people to be involved in these teams and trustees, because it's a lot. We have a lot. You have all the seminaries, NAM, IMB, executive committee, committee on committees, committee on nominations. It's a lot.
Wow. That's interesting. Yeah.
So, and then the other thing I would just like to mention is that the ERLC being defunded, that's going to come up again.
That's a big one. Yeah.
Had to go on Twitter. I haven't been on Twitter in a while to find out like what is going to be talked about, which is just fun. That's the new thing, right? Like you don't listen to the SBC leaders to know what's going to be talked about. You go on Twitter to find out.
Yeah. And there's a few key people who are posting. Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So that's kind of, I think that's the whole other dynamic is that influence, which this is true in all of our culture, is just so, I think this is good, but it also becomes like we're not speaking the same language, like the Tower of Babel. Influence is so spread.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. Okay. Something that I think was kind of note was this, was it yesterday or maybe the day before Jennifer Lyle passed away unexpectedly. Very, very sad for her and her family. That was just... I don't know.
Yeah. Interesting. We just talked about her last week, you know.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh gosh.
Yeah. That was very unexpected. I know for sure. So, well, anything else that you wanted to talk about or mention from your time?
No. I mean, I would just say anything can happen. And so we do our recap episode next week.
Yeah,
we'll probably have a lot of information that we can share because you'll, if you're somebody who follows this, you'll see these things on the internet, and we can maybe bring a little more clarity to what happened. Like, remember a couple of years ago, the one resolution about IVF and all those things.
Yes.
Like, no, like what?
Wow.
Seemingly random at the time. Yeah, exactly.
Crazy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I guess
it kind of depends. I would say for anybody who listens to Value Talk who takes the time to live stream or listen to the SBC, we really would love your questions or observations because that would be helpful to provide clarity to or direction.
Yeah. I actually met somebody today at Backyard Bible Clubs and he was like, oh, you're on Boggy Talk. And I said, yeah, we're actually Zooming today. He's like, yeah, because James is at the SBC and he wanted to know all about it. So,
oh, wow. Yeah.
he was interested in that for sure. So, yeah, next week we will be doing the recap. So that'll be, you know, based upon tomorrow and everything that the questions and the things that get brought up then. So, yeah, if you guys have anything that you want us to talk about or even, you know, you can send that to me now. We can get those questions to James and have his ears open at the convention if you want. My email is kelly@churchonbayshore.org. And that's it for today. Thanks for tuning in, guys, and we will see y'all next time.
Thanks for listening to Boggy Talk. We are so glad you joined in the conversation. Go ahead and subscribe so you don't miss a beat.